Hi there, welcome along. It's the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. Bruce Millington, Keith Melrose and Tom Collins looking ahead to a superb weekend. The sun shining, England are in the quarterfinals of the Euros and we've got some cracking racing on Saturday to get stuck into, highlighted by the Coral Eclipse at Sandown. There's four races from there on ITV and we've also got three from Haydock as well. We'll get stuck into the big race straight away. It takes place at 3:35 on Saturday. It's the Coral Eclipse, one of the highlights of the summer. The first time the best of the three-year-olds meet the best of the older horses. 1 mile and 2 furlongs the trip. Now, I suppose disappointing. If you see four runners, you're going to say to yourself, that's a bit of a blow. But I think it's still a really fascinating race despite just the four runners. Keith, I don't expect you to share my enthusiasm for the football that we've got this weekend, but do you share my enthusiasm for this race?
I do. I think you're absolutely right with the field there. Yeah, you look at four and think that's a disappointing turnout, but really, how could you particularly have improved it? The best three-year-old to run in a mile two Group 1 is St Mark's Basilica, and Adabe and Mishriff, there might not be an exhaustive list of the best middle mile two older horses in the world, but they're both right up there, aren't they? So, you know, we could have had more numbers, but I'm not sure Love or Lord North would have improved this race by huge amounts. It's a really smashing race.
Shall I just quickly do a show of betting? Sorry, Keith. 6-4 Mishriff, 7-4 St Mark's Basilica, 3-1 Adabe, and 25-1 El Drama. So it's not a cut and dried one. It's an interesting betting heat. Keith, should we just quickly, before we get your views, just touch on what the ground might be? Because the sun's shining down here now. I'm about 10 miles away from Sandown. The going is good with a bit of cut, but there is quite a bit of rain forecast. So I think we're kind of looking somewhere between good and good to soft, aren't we?
Possibly, yes. I mean, I'm sort of allowing for good ground. The Adabe thing, you know, there's a long-standing tenth theory that he is better on softer grounds. You know, if they're happy to run him, because they will pull him out if they think it's too fast. So if they're happy to run him, I'm just going to... And the other horses have form on all the sort of plausible ground conditions we've got. I'm taking the opportunity, like I always grasp it with both hands, to basically ignore ground on this one.
Okay, fair enough. I suppose that is a slight concern, isn't it? Because Haggis has shown time and time again that he's got no worries about taking him out and potentially even after the meeting started. But anyway, let's take it that it's somewhere between good and good to soft. They're all running. Who wins?
The one of the betting angle in the race is almost certainly a Dave for me. He has got the best form already in the book, but he's run more than the other two combined. So you're sort of maybe expecting that to a little extent and expecting them to improve. They're also horses I would imagine will quicken better than he can. But what I think is likely to happen here, he's the only horse with any history in the race of going from the front, and he's got Tom Marquand on him, who is an absolutely tremendous rider off the front. He made most of the running when he won the Ranvet last year, I think, and he would have done it again in the Champion Stakes he won, but Serpentine decided to give him the lead. So Marquand's going to get the run of things on the front, and what Mishriff and St Mark's Basilica can do, they can quicken, yes, but they can also pull hard in behind. So Marquand getting to do what he wants in the front could be really dangerous for everything else in the race. And it's not like Adabe has half the chance of these other two horses on merit. They might be slightly better than him, but they're not that much better than them. And with the prices as they are, that tactical edge potentially, and the fact that they're not going to be miles better than him, Adabe is the bet for me.
Excellent. Tom, let's get your enthusiasm levels for the whole day and your selection.
Yeah, I think this is a really good race. Three generations battling out the prize, all rated 120 plus. It's going to be a really enthralling race. Much like Keith, though, I didn't really know where the pace was going to come from. I see the angle with the Dave, and I'm actually going to put him up as my selection in the race at the prices, though I'm not sure he's actually going to go forward. If Mishriff shows the early pace he showed in the Saudi Cup when he managed to live with Nick's Go and Charlatan, then surely he's going to lead this field. But he hasn't really done that on turf. So it's an interesting debate where the speed's going to come from. Maybe El Drama goes forward, being the outside of the field. I doubt Connections think he's probably going to back run the likes of Adabe, St Mark's Basilica and Mishriff. So maybe he goes on. I just think Adabe's the best price in the race. Yes, the ground probably isn't as soft as you like, but there's rain forecast from 11 p.m. tonight. On Friday night until I think around 9 a.m. tomorrow morning. So it's certainly not going to be quick out there. I think he's Ronley Pigeonholed as a heavy ground merchant anyway. I mean, two of his five best RPRs have come on good to soft or good ground. So He's certainly versatile where the going is concerned. And I think he's been primed for this race. So I know that Mishrif is the horse to beat on his last two runs, but Adabe is the bet at the prices.
Do you not? What did you think of St. Mark's Basilica in France? I thought it was a really, really good performance. I mean, tactical speed. He backed up some really good previous form. I mean, would it surprise you if he won?
It wouldn't surprise him if he runs. Obviously, if he wins, sorry. He's a three-year-old against older horses. He gets handy weight for age allowance. The only issue with him is that I think he's more of a soft ground merchant than Adabe is. All four of his victories have come on soft or very soft, the last two in France. When you look at his other performances on yielding or good ground, he's produced form figures of 2.53. So he's certainly beatable when the ground's a bit quicker. Look, he's got every chance in the race. I just want to take him on at the prices. I think it's pretty short.
Thank you, gents.
If I wasn't betting in the race, I'd be hoping St. Mark's Basilica wins well because he could be really, really good, couldn't he? It's just, he's very fast, isn't he? That's the thing. He quickens very well. He's very fast and a very tactical mile, stiff mile two. I'm not sure that's going to be what ultimately suits him. You know, he might be the sort of horse that will win the QE2 or something, albeit that the milers are a very strong division now.
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing with St. Mark's Basilica is that, you know, we took right up to the guineas. We were kind of, you know, the two-year-olds last year were all beating each other, and then it sort of carried on this year. But he looks one who might just break away and go on, just be a little bit better. And Keith, this is a race where, as we said at the start, the three-year-olds meet the cream of the older horses, and there hasn't really been an edge there, has there? If you look at past few years, it's pretty equal between three-year-olds and older ones. So, you know, it's a fascinating contest.
And it was. And the other thing I was actually arguing today in the analysis is, when was the last time that actually happened, when the best of the three-year-olds met the best of the older horses at this point? I think you can make the case it's not happened since See the Stars.
Yeah, I suppose so. Yeah, I mean, if you look at the three-year-olds that have won it, you've got Roaring Lion, haven't you? Who else has won it? You know, there's some good three-year-olds have won it. Golden Horn, I suppose.
In those instances, though, it's they've been the older horses that have turned up against them generally haven't been the sort of cream. I was having a flick through, so I'm not. There would be potentially instances that you could argue about, but I would say if you're being really strict about it, you're going back 12 years.
Let's test your racing knowledge, lads. Who did Golden Horn beat when he won the Eclipse?
The Great Gatsby, wasn't it?
Ah, well in, Tom. Very good indeed. Blimey, mustard. Next time there's a racing quiz, I'm definitely having Tom in my team. Three more ITV races to look at now at Sandown. We'll start at the 150, 5 furlongs. The Coral Charge, it's a Group 3. Very interesting race. Arecibo, absolutely reborn and learned how to win again since his switch to Robert Cowell. He heads the market around about 130, as we always say on the show. Shop around for best prices and best place terms. 4-1 came from the dark. 5-1 Lazuli. 6-1 Keep Busy. 9-1 Atalis Bay. And 14-1 Stone of Destiny. Tom Collins, does this race do it for you? And if so, who are you going to be backing?
Well, it's a thrilling 5-furlong race. I mean, all 5-furlong races at Sandown are thrilling because you know you're going to get troubled passages and unlucky horses. You need the luck of the rub of the green, basically, to pick the winner of this race.
And then you have to go to a TV monitor to see who's won it, don't you?
Exactly. You can't even see it from the track. It's a bit ridiculous. It's worth noting that the ground on the straight track is softer than the ground on the round track. I think it's good to soft currently compared to good on the round track. So that's worth noting if you're picking in this race. Especially if you're picking Came From The Dark, which I am, because he's a horse that's won on soft and heavy ground. I thought he should have beaten Lazuli in the Palace House last time. Holly Doyle was outridden by William Buick, in my opinion. William Buick stole the gap, meant that Came From The Dark got squeezed out and probably cost him the race. Prior to that, he was electric at Newbury. Came from last to first, a glittering turn of foot. He basically looked like a group performer in a handicap that day. The King's Stand was talked about as his main race. But he bypassed that target, bypassed Ascot, came here instead. I like the draw in Stall 9 as well. I think that's the main point for Came From The Dark, because he's a hold-up horse, as I've already mentioned, and you don't want to be drawn 1 or 2 because you're going to get stuffed against that rail and then you're going to have to pull out wide. You lose a lot of ground, momentum, and potentially still get blocked in your run. So I think Gate 9 is good from Came From The Dark, who can hopefully come down the middle of the track and pick up the front runners in the race.
Okay, Keith, I think the old magic Stall 1 at Sandown on 5 furlongs is kind of taken a little bit of a knock lately, hasn't it? I mean, I think G-Rod was saying that in recent months and years, it hasn't always been the place to be like it was. Is there any evidence for that?
I've not actually looked at the figures. Giro will have done that, but that is the sort of the perception now that it's not the low draw on that straight course isn't the, you know, you used to be able to rule everything else out that wasn't drawn one or two, didn't you?
Yeah.
But it's not the case anymore for sure, especially with horses that do need a little bit of luck in running, because there is still a lot of the action near that rail, but you know, you don't want to be getting hemmed in behind it. That's about all I can offer in this race, because my selections came from the dark exactly for the same reasons as TC, really.
Okay, fair enough. I mean, we should just talk about Arecibo, who's a horse that David Jennings tipped every single Saturday last summer. And he was kind of, if you had a market to finish fifth, he'd be odds on because he kept doing that. What, he's gone from he's gone from O'Mara to Robert Cowell, and he's really, really improved, hasn't he, Keith? I mean, a brilliant run last time at Ascot.
It was, and I think Giro's made the point today, though, that the Ascot run, there is an element of the optical illusion about it. Obviously, a great run to finish second in a group one, but he and the winner, Oxted, ran a lot more of an efficient race than a lot of the horses around them. And it maybe looked a little bit more, he's come from nowhere to finish there, but he's run a good race. It's the rest of them that have run inefficient races. So it's maybe not as sparkling as it looks, but it undoubtedly makes him the one to beat on recent form. It's just maybe don't get carried away with what you see above what the visual impressions give you. It was a little bit misleading.
Okay, who's done the analysis of this race for the Racing Post tomorrow, Keith?
G-Rod,
okay.
Well, we haven't. It is, isn't it? Yeah, it is.
Okay. Yeah, excellent. I think so. Yeah.
Jolly good. Well, listen, a Racing Post tomorrow, fantastic value. All the racing, all the football tips, and brilliant, brilliant content looking ahead to all these big races on Saturday. Really in-depth stuff, loads of great stats. Let's move on to the 225 now. A mile is the trip. It's the Coral Challenge, and this is wide open. This is a fascinating race, this. Can't wait to hear who the lads fancy. First, though, we'll get some betting. 11-2, Montatham. 13-2, Magical Morning. 7-1, Acquitted. 15-2, Trey Fleur. 8-1, Pythagoras. 12-1, Escobar. 12-1, Marie's Diamond. 14, Beat Le Bon. 14, Plant a Dream. And 18-1, Bar. We'll start with you, Keith. This looks a tricky old puzzle.
It is. It's a very, very competitive race every year. It's another one of those races I keep saying where if you think you've got a certainty in this, you probably need to have another look because there's always umpteen interesting horses in it.
Yeah, Montatham did win it last year, though, didn't he, Keith? At 6-5, so he won it in the manner of a good thing. And I think the three favourites have won the last three running. So are you going to look to Montatham for a follow up?
No, I'm the one I'm actually fancying in this race, and no puns please, is Pythagoras. He's three, so obviously quite unexposed. He's run, you know, after his first run of the year, which was at Epsom. He's shaped really quite well a couple of times. He was in the Dante, finished sixth, but travelled really quite well in the Dante and, you know, didn't look completely out of his depth against a good group of horses that obviously was led home by last week's Irish Derby winner, Hurricane Lane. And then at Ascot again in the Golden Gate Handicap, he was again right up there until late in the piece and faded away into mid-division. This is back to a stiff mile and he's off a mark of 99, I think. He's going to be one of these horses that he might be sort of a handicap-listed gap horse. Those horses are all handicapped off 99, though. And if it happens to be that a stiff mile is his trip, he's got a cracking chance. So he's the one I'll be putting up.
Keith likes Pythagoras. Who does Tom like?
It's a thrilling race, isn't it? I've just written the preview for this, actually. We basically got everything in here. You've got group horses. You've got a former Group 1 winner in Accidental Agent. You've got horses coming out of Royal Ascot handicaps. You've got the improving three-year-old in Pythagoras. Basically, it's a race full of everything. I understand the case made by Keith for Pythagoras. He was my second in on the shortlist. But I'm going to go with the top weight, Montatham. He won this race really impressively last year after finishing second in the Royal Home Cup behind Dark Vision, who we all know is a very good horse. Reversed that form in this race last year at 6-5. There was a £3 swing, and that's how he did it. He travelled really nicely, clearly likes the track. I was really impressed with his reappearance run when he was third at Doncaster behind a really good horse in Top Rank. I thought he looked a bit burly that day and certainly going to come on for the run. Adam Farrer has an interesting jockey booking, claims £5, which takes his weight from 9 stone 10 down to 9 stone 5. I think Farrer has had 5 rides for William Haggis, yet to have a winner actually since coming over to ride in Britain last month. He's only had 19 rides at the time of speaking. He had 20 winners in Ireland. His ability is not up for question. He's a very good rider, certainly worth the £5. So I'm going to be with Montatham.
Okay, I've just clicked on the best odds function on racingpost.com and I can see that Montatham is a best price of 11-2 with the sponsors Corals. But it's always interesting, as I said before, it's not just about the best price because there's a big range of each ways here. Coral, Bet365, Ladbrokes, all a quarter the three. Betfair, a fifth the four. Paddy Power and Sky Bet and William Hill, a fifth the five. Given that there's five places here, I'll ask you both, would you be looking to back your selection each way there, Keith?
Not that he's not a natural each way. I mean, the each way terms are in your favour in that instance. But Pythagoras, he's not the most natural each way horse because this is betting on him suiting new conditions. I may do, but you know, he's not the sort of the classic each way bet.
And what about you, Tom? If you've got 11-2, 5-1 shot, and it's a fifth the place, so you're getting your money back if they're in the five. Do you just say, yeah, he's great each way value, or do you just stick to the win only strategy?
I mean, I can understand if people do back him each way. I mean, 5-1, 11-2, as you say, you get your money back for a place. There's nothing really wrong with that. I'm not really an each way punter. My only each way bets would ever come in big Cheltenham handicaps or, you know, the Lincoln or an anti-post punt, for example. But I wouldn't bet each way day to day. I'm more of an on the nose, hope he wins kind of type.
Right, you are. Let's move on to the 3 o'clock at Sandown. It's over a mile again and it's the Coral Distaff, a listed race. For three-year-old fillies, Statement, ridden by Ryan Moore, is 9-4. Warm Order at the head of the market. Auntie Bridie, 15-2. Aurea, 8-1. Also 8-1 is Ready to Venture, 10-1. Seattle Rock and Shine For You, and it's 12-1. Baron Keith, the winner is called?
Statement. This is so much easier than the Fred Darling. So much easier than the Guineas. She was shorthand second in that to Alcohol Free, who obviously won at Ascot. So much easier than the Guineas, where she finished eighth. It wasn't beaten all that far. And still a little bit easier than the race at Epsom. She was third in on Derby Day, the Princess Elizabeth. That day as well, but I think you can mark her up. A lot of the action happened on the rail at Epsom that day. I heard from a judge I respect recently that a theory about Adair being up the inside all the way actually helped him in the Derby. A lot of the action that day took place on that rail. Statement was held up and wide all the way. That was not where you wanted to be generally on that card. So you can absolutely forgive that run. And it wasn't a terrible run anyway. As I've said before, much easier assignment. I think she's just better than them.
Okay, lovely stuff. And Tom, who's your selection?
I do think Statement is better than them. I think she'll win. But for a value play, I think Seattle Rock is the other horse to focus on. She ran to a really good level last year. Clearly didn't handle the Rolly Mile on her first two starts this campaign. She was much better at Newbury last time. I know it was just a novice event, and this is a massive step up in trip, massive step up in grade. But she's already proven her capabilities of handling group races. I think similarly aggressive tactics may see her flourish as well. In her two starts in Newmarket earlier this season, she was held up. Last time at Newbury, she was ridden on the pace and she really stuck out her race nicely. So hopefully she can run into a place behind Statement.
Thank you, gents. Let's head up to Haydock next.
Members Club is the ultimate resource for racing enthusiasts and punters, brought to you by The Racing Post. Get access to The Racing Post digital newspaper every day from 9 p.m, plus exclusive content including expert tips, analysis, form study tools and more. Head to racingpost.com and click subscribe to find out more.
Welcome back. It's Bruce Millington, Tom Collins and Keith Melrose on Racing Post Weekend Postcast. We've done Sandown's TV races. Now let's do Haydocks. There are three of them, starting with the 205. A mile and six is the trip for the Bet365 handicap. Best current prices as of Friday lunchtime: 130 Dushan, 6-1 Harlem Soul, 15-2 Summer Night, 8-1 Contact, 8-1 Kondo Isami, 12-1 Bar. Tom Collins, you can go first.
Yeah, I'm with Harlem Soul in here. He's one of my better selections of the day, I think. He cost 130,000, thrived last time when he was stepped up to a mile and a half. I mean, that's no surprise given his pedigree. He's out of Giants play. He's by Frankel. The dam Giants play is the dam of Park Hill runner-up Vivian and Nadal Sheba Trophy winner Isfellini. So basically Harlem Soul is bred for trips in excess of a mile six, a mile four. So you're going to expect him to stick out this race pretty nicely. He's clearly not slow because he managed to win that race despite a stop-start gallop. And he was the sole horse last time out of Ripon that produced three sub-12-second sectionals between four furlongs out and one furlong out. So he can sustain his run, which is a big plus. Mark Johnson always runs his best three-odd stayers in this race. He won it with Making Miracles in 2018, Sir Ron Priestley 2019. Ascot Gold Cup winner Subjectivist finished second to a really nice horse in Favourite Moon last year. I love the booking of Sylvester D'Souza. He's going to be aggressive on Harlem Soul, which is what saw him win last time at Ripon. And a mark of 84 looks fair. So he's one of my stronger selections.
Okay, Keith, who do you like?
I'm also good with Johnson. You know, Johnson never misses a big pot. And this is the sort of race where he's going to have a lot of eligible horses. I think he's got a horse that's going to end up his career with Black Type running off 90, Kondo Asami. The Doncaster second to Dancing King, who ran fine in the Queen's Vase and has more in him, looks extremely good. His win before that was from Tashkan, who I think runs in this. Won next time and also ran at Ascot. Dr. Parnassus was second off a higher mark yesterday. The Dancing King form, the field couldn't get separated out, but horses like Albert Camus came out and won Dr. Parnassus's race yesterday. Alpine Stroll's come out and been second. There's a lot of good form coming out of those races. They looked like good races at the time as well. If you take that, say, that Doncaster run, he is the best handicapped horse in this race. You have to throw out a run at Ascot. He didn't go a yard in that race, so you're going to have to throw it out. A mile six is the sort of trip that's exactly going to suit him. He's got that sort of pedigree. Ben Curtis is on, who, of all the regular riders for Johnston now, I think Curtis is the best of them. He's a superb rider. And Kondo Asami is quite a strong selection for me.
Thank you very much, gents. 240 Haydock, the 1 mile and 4 furlong bet, 365 Lancashire Oaks. It's a group two, and the market thinks Sir Mark Prescott and Luke Morris have got every chance of teaming up to win it with Alpinista. It's 7-4, that one. 11-2, Mystery Angel. 6-1, Dubai Fountain. 8-1, Tribal Craft. 10-1, La Lune. And 16-1, Barham. We'll start with Keith.
Yeah, there's not many I really sort of have in this race, and Alpinista's justified in where she is, but the bet I'll be having is a little bit further down the market. It's one more chance for Dubai Fountain, who won the Cheshire Oaks, hated something in the Oaks itself. And yeah, you would be a little bit disappointed with her run in the Ribblesdale last time at Royal Ascot, but you look at what was ahead of her in that race, and just about all of them would be clear second favourite for this one. You know, got Loving Dream, Ishada, Divinely. They're all horses that would be clear second favourite to Alpinista in this race. Dubai Fountain ran perfectly well. It's worth another chance. 6-1 is too big. I think she should be second favourite for this. So, yeah, I'll be having a wee bet on her.
And if you fancy, I mean, again, she's probably not an each way type, but if you did, you do get four places with Sky Bet, Keith.
Tell you okay. What, in this one, because the depth just isn't there in this race for me.
Right. So it's one of those ones where you'd struggle in how many have we got? We've only got nine runners. So, you know, four of the nine have got to beat her to thwart you, haven't they? Which might not happen.
That's right, yeah.
Okay. Right then. Who's your Lancashire Oaks fancy TC?
Well, we've already mentioned Statement in the Coral Distaff at Sandown, looking to have bona fide claims and the clear standout in the market in that race. I think Alpinista is the clear standout in the market in this race. I know it's an unoriginal selection. She's going to be, 7-4 favourite. She just looks a cut above to me. I don't want to oppose her. I think she's one of the better domestic favourites on the day. I was at Epsom in 2019 when she won on her debut. It was a really good performance. She took some money that day, but it came over 7 furlongs. Amazing performance, given she's bred for stamina sapping tests like this. She's gone from strength to strength since, as you would expect with Kirsten Rousing's homebreds. I mean, I've fallen into the trap this year of backing another Prescott horse who hasn't necessarily done it for Kirsten Rousing. But Alpinista is. She ran a brilliant race to finish 5 lengths second to Love in the Yorkshire Oaks. If she reproduces that effort, she'll just bolt up here. I was really impressed with her display at Goodwood. Luke Morris said she'll come on for the run. I just think she's probably too good.
Okay, and finally at Haydock, 3:15, a mile and a half again for the Bet 365 Old Newton Cup, big field, wide open, really, really interesting race this, and alongside a current market leader at 7-1 for the same connections as Alpinista. If you shop around, you can get 6 places here, by the way. 15-2 is Grand Bazaar, 8-1 RD. 8-1 Valerian Steel, 8-1 Zabil Champion, 12-1 Midnight's Legacy, and My Frankel 14 bar. And Tom, we'll start with you. Can you unravel this?
It's a very intriguing race, isn't it? Plenty of good recent form on offer as well. The likes of Midnight Legacy and Zabil Champion were two interesting runners. But I think Longside is going to win the Ebor, so I've got a side with him here. He's only had three runs. He's very unexposed, and he looked really green actually when he was last seen. So there is a bit of doubt there. I think if you're, did you say six places, Bruce, each way?
Yeah, let's have a look. Yeah, Skybet currently going six places. And so, look, hang on, and so are William Hill.
If you've got a Skybet.
Sorry, Keith. Sorry, Tom. I just want to put a shout out for the Racing Post app. If you see any of these, if you see us refer to extra places, they are available on the Racing Post app as well. So, yeah, sorry. Pray continue, sir.
Yeah, I think if you have a William Hill or Skybet account, then six places, 7-1 alongside is a pretty decent bet, though I will be just playing him to win because that's my style. His ability isn't in question. I'm certain that a mark of 92 underestimates him. He does so much wrong in his races on the weather last time and on his penultimate start, but he still won with so much in hand. He's got ridiculous talent level if he puts it all together. I think he's going to show further improvement now that he's switched to turf. All three of his runs have come on the all-weather. I really fancied him for the Northumberland Plate, actually, last week, but he didn't make the cut by one spot off a mark of 92. He's a big, cumbersome sort, clearly going to stay well. So Mark Prescott does well with these types. And he's got an eye-popping turn of foot for this level. So I think Longside has got a good chance. Maybe the better bet is to back him anti-post for the Ebor right now, but I certainly wouldn't want to be opposing him in this race.
Okay, Keith, do you take a similar view to Tom or are you looking elsewhere?
If you think the Ebor winner is running the Old Newton Cup and he's 7-1, I don't think the Ebor is the bet. And that's the one place I disagree with him. You'd back him at 7-1 for the Old Newton Cup if you think he's that good, because he'll need to be rated 100 to get in the Ebor. So it's a daunting statement to think TC thinks this horse is that good. It's a really competitive race again. I do quite fancy one here. He's got quite a similar profile in a sense, Valerian Steel, in that he has been running on the all-weather. He's tried turf. He's won on turf. But people might look and say, oh, this is all-weather form. That's the trick. This horse is not an all-weather horse. You look at the way he strides. You look at the size of him. You look at the way he's going to gobble up a long straight. And you think that the way he's won at Kempton the last twice is really underestimating him. He's still got a bit of greenness in him as well, actually. He beat Galata Bridge last time. And as soon as David Egan just slapped him down the back with a whip, he hung left. So this is a horse that's still learning the game. He makes up ground very, very easily, but is going to benefit from a longer time to unfurl. I think he is very much a horse I'll be backing each way because I can't see him failing to hit the six. But I can see a scenario in which he maybe doesn't quite get there or meets some trouble. But Valerian Steel is quite a strong fancy for me.
Lovely stuff. Thank you, gents. That's the TV action done. We'll see what else the boys fancy on Saturday in just a jiffy.
Be sure to watch Racing Post Live with Betfair for racing reaction, tips and discussion. Live every Saturday afternoon on the Racing Post YouTube channel.
Welcome back to the final part of the Racing Post Weekend Postcards. Bruce Millington, Tom Collins and Keith Melrose, as well as the Sandown and Haydock TV races. We've obviously got the undercards there on Saturday. We've got Leicester, we've got Beverly, we've got Carlisle, and we've got in Ireland, Bellewstown and Nice. So the floor is yours, Keith. Don't give you an app away, but what else do you fancy away from the glare of the ITV cameras?
Well, it's not a weekend that suits my eye, really, Bruce. There's only one staying race, and we've covered it. It's that 2:05 at Haydock. I'm having a look at a few other races. There's an early nursery I'll be having a look at and whatnot, but there's nothing I fancy strongly enough to put up as a selection.
Jolly good. What about you, Thomas?
Two selections, one in the States, one in the UK. We'll start with the UK runner, which was Remedium in the 5:15 at Sandown. He's winless after four starts for trainer Richard Hannon, but he's an improving sort, cost 48,000. He's a son of Ade, who's done really well with his progeny, real up-and-coming sire. He finished second behind subsequent Derby fifth, Third Realm on his seasonal reappearance. Got lost out in front at Windsor on his penultimate start, got chinned on the line. Last time didn't handle Chester. Back to a more conventional track, I think Remedium's going to run well. And I think he's a double-figure price, around 10, 12-1.
Yeah. And then, so a bit of 11s at the moment, Tom.
Lovely price, that. Each way, I think. And then over in the States, well, I'm in the Sky Sports studios. What a terrible time to be in. England's going to be playing.
Oh, my goodness me. You're joking. I know.
Yeah, rookie mistake. I'm on from 6 to 11, so I'm going to... We're going to hopefully...
I bet they rang you on sort of Tuesday night, didn't they? When everyone else had blown it out.
They did, and they offered me to switch for a South African afternoon shift, but I know nothing about South African racing, so I couldn't. I know. Hopefully the TV in the studio is going to be on the football. So if I celebrate while the US action's on, you know why. my one selection. I haven't actually done my bulk study yet, but I've looked at a couple of the stakes races. And the best selection at this moment is Diamond Oops in the Smile Sprint Invitational Grade 3 race over 6 furlongs at Gulfstream, which is 10.02, race 10 on the card. He won this race really impressively in 2019, bypassed the race last year, COVID hit schedule. You know, there are many reasons why he didn't turn up. He's won a couple of Grade 2 since, drops down in class. Really impressive last time out at this track. 6 of his 8 wins have come at Gulfstream. Really nice couple of works as well, including 1 5-furlong breeze in 59.4 seconds, which is a strong effort. 6 furlong breeze will have him spot on. Hopefully he's going to win third time up off the layoff.
10.02. We'll just be doing our lap of honour at that point, won't we? Interesting. Right then, let's get the Saturday naps.
This will not be beaten.
And we'll start with Tom Collins.
Yeah, the nap's going to be Harlem Soul in the 205 at Haydock. I think he's really going to improve for the step up and trip, and he's a decent price for trainer Mark Johnson.
Thank you, Keith.
It was going to be Kondo Sami in the same race, but
that's fine. Go that's for it. Fine. Stick to your guns.
I thought on the hop, an alternative up. I just think Statement's going to win that Coral Distaff, so she'd be the next for anyone who wants a double, but Kondo Sami is, all things being equal, my nap on Saturday.
Okay, Keith, and I presume for a Scot, you've got absolutely zero interest in the football, or will you tune in with your yellow and blue face paint on?
No, I'll be watching. We've got visitors who'll be wanting to watch it. I'll tune in, and it might be a good game. Ukraine can't seem to help themselves a little bit, so it might be quite open. Although England are a very controlling team, they might be the smartest team in the tournament this year. Which, first time in my lifetime, I could probably say that about the England team. I'll be watching.
Okay, Keith. Well, Tom, you won't be watching, will you? You'll be sitting there taking us through all the action from Santa Anita and wherever else.
Yeah, I mean, I'll try and watch while, because luckily we're not actually on camera. Obviously, you'll hear my voice, but it's usually just the pictures, so I can hopefully watch the football while talking about the US action, but we'll see how much I can get away with.
Brilliant stuff. Excellent. Okay, gents, thank you very much indeed. Maddie is back on Monday to dissect the weekend action and look ahead to some good midweek stuff from Newmarket. And of course, next Saturday, it's that absolutely crazy. They call it Super Saturday. It's certainly super busy Saturday, loads on. So do please join us for more great racing podcasts next week.